If you ever struggle with prayer, as I'm sure you do, then you will perhaps be interested in this story Jesus told about the widow and the unjust judge. It's a 2,000-year-old story, and yet somehow it seems quite topical. It is a kind of I fought the law story for the first century. A lone woman seeks justice, but finds that the legal system and all the odds are stacked against her. Now, does that sound familiar at all? The widow, we learn, has no influence, no power. But she does have one quality which proves invaluable. She is very, very persistent. Maybe it would make a good ITV drama, this one. Her antagonist, we are told, was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. He was then the very opposite of a good judge. And the poor widow became the bane of his life, for she kept pestering him over and over again to give her justice. Now, we should understand that a widow in the first century was the very epitome of a vulnerable adult. Widows had little status in society, little means to earn a living. And so with no one to protect her or speak for her, she was indeed vulnerable and powerless. Her greatest quality in this story, though, was her persistence, her determination. And at first the judge resisted her petitions, but gradually she wore him down. And for the sake of an easy life and a quiet life and to get her off his back, the judge gave her what she wanted, namely, justice. And at first sight, the moral of the story seems to be that if an unjust judge will do this for the sake of an easy life, then how much more will God, who cares about his people, grant their requests? And yet, while this is undoubtedly true, it's not really the point of the story. The key to unlocking this parable is in what the widow was demanding. She was pleading for justice. Justice is the key to unlocking this story. If we think about the context in which Luke was writing his gospel, one of the great concerns of the early Christians was that God's justice was not coming, at least not as soon as expected. Here they were, being faithful in a heathen world, and all they got for their trouble was persecution and ridicule. When would Christ come again, as he had promised? When would their faith in him be vindicated? When would Christ's reign of justice and peace, so long promised, when would that come to pass? And my guess is that under the phenomenal pressure of persecution, intimidation, and ridicule, some Christians were beginning to give up. Some were beginning to abandon their faith. And under such circumstances, this parable in particular would have struck a very resonant chord. And what do we make of verse 7? Where it says, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them?" And the problem for the early church was that God was delaying long. Prayers seemed to go unanswered. And yet in this verse, there is great encouragement for a hard-pressed church if we know where to look. The only other place in Luke's gospel where the phrase chosen one is used is at the crucifixion. When the leaders scoffed at Jesus and said, "Let him save himself if he is the Messiah, the chosen one of God." Jesus cries out on the cross as the chosen ones cry out in this parable. And God vindicated Jesus. Life is what God grants Jesus, and life is what these early readers of Luke's gospel desired. They cry out for life and vindication in the face of suffering and injustice. And they look to Christ's resurrection and see in it a foretaste of what they can look forward to themselves, when God's justice will be fully realized. And so it is we begin to understand that God, that this parable is not just about the here and now. It is about a future hope too, when God shall set all things right, and when his justice and peace will be fully known. And so it is that prayer for justice in this world and prayer for God's final salvation, those two things are inseparable. They're combined in this parable, in this story. They're really the same thing. And to yearn for one is to yearn for the other. And so it is today. How often do we give up on prayer, disillusioned with the state of the world, disillusioned by the seeming silence of God? Often we give up because we feel that God does not answer. We pray for help, and when it doesn't come, we wonder, well, what's the point? We wonder if our prayers will make any difference in our world. And then too often we quietly drop prayer because we become disheartened by the disappointments. And even when we do persevere in prayer, we so often pray for the world with a heavy heart, thinking that it will be extraordinary, a miracle if anything changes. We pray about the desperate people of Ukraine, wondering if this war of attrition will ever end. We pray for conflicts in Syria, Sudan, Yemen, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, wondering if the world will ever change because it's been going on for so long. The one ray of light in our prayers is a ceasefire in Gaza. But old hatreds remain. Seems almost unrealistic to pray not just for the absence of war, but for the presence of real peace, a breaking down of barriers. And faced with such intractable problems in our world, faced with our limited vision of what the world might be and become, it's very easy to give up on God, to give up on prayer altogether. If that is you, as it might well be, then take heart, because we're not quite at the end of the story. Jesus has one more line in the parable to deliver. He says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And the answer in the gospel seems to be yes, he will. But he finds it in unexpected places. Faith, it seems, is often found among the tax collectors and sinners. A blind beggar on the side of a road. A widow who gives 2 coins to the temple treasury. A leper who is healed and gives thanks to God. And here, in a widow who cries out for justice. And our calling as Christian people is to be faithful too. However life is treating us, however much we feel powerless in the face of events outside our control, we are called to be like the widow of our story. We are called to persevere with God. We may not be able to change world events, but we are called to persevere in faith and in our prayers. We had something of that in the earlier story from the Old Testament. We cling on to God with the determination of Jacob. What was it he said? "I will not let you go." And he never did, in spite of everything. And so it is that a sign of our faithfulness is a refusal to let go of God. Love's hold is strong. And if the gospel is our guide on prayer, then God is ready to give to us. He is ready to give daily bread, the Holy Spirit, his kingdom, and justice to those who ask. Praying for these things is good and is a mark of faithfulness in this world. As we look around, as we have our eyes opened, and as we see God's action, God working his purposes out. And so it is not easy to persist in prayer. And yet we are reassured in this parable that God hears us and that he stands ready to respond to our pleas. So let us therefore go from here with a determination in our hearts to persevere. And as we pray, let us keep our hope in Christ, who promised to return one day and to set all things right. And let us be ready to work with him in the here and now to establish God's kingdom of justice and peace in our church, in our communities, and throughout the world. Amen.